I mentioned last week what my thought was, and that's not changed. Say it like you mean it. And I don't mind telling you where that thought come from. I was at a funeral home a couple weeks ago, and a week and a half so ago. I told somebody, I said, I love you. And they said, I wish you'd say it like you mean it. And I thought, amen. And they was just kidding. They wouldn't. But, you know, we get where we say things. We'll have a handshake at the end of service here after a while. Every one of you, when you come around through, I'll say, I love you. And I wonder, you know, am I saying it really like I mean it? I think it's really important when we say something that we mean it. Whether it be to us, one another, or especially unto God.
Amen.
Y'all heard me talk about my call to preach before, and I'm going to briefly go through it again, but I ran for 8 years on my call. I'm ashamed of that today. I wish I'd done better. A lot of bad things I went through. God trying to bring me down to get me to a place to where I would do what he wanted me to do. Yeah. Was at a hospital in Nashville. My wife had had back surgery. We'd got her up. We took her into the bathroom, and I was trying to give her a bath, and I was washing her, and all of a sudden she quit breathing. She began to turn blue. I was yanking on that rope. It says for help. I was screaming, saying, please, God, help us. Somebody please help us. And I finally got to the point. I said, Lord, I'll try. I need her. I'll try. You can't bargain with God. You can't. But he knew I needed her. I couldn't read. And all of a sudden, when I said that, I mean, as quick as I said that, she went, and she breathed. We get back home. She's in the bed. I leave to go to Rocky Mount Church that morning. I go on yonder, and I done told her a couple of 3 years before I'd been called to preach. And I went in there, and I told her, I said, I've got on my call to preach today. I said, things will never be the same, because when I do this,
amen,
I can't turn back on it. So I went that morning, and I on my call to preach, and I've not made it yet. Until they lay me in a grave, it's my duty, and I'm out to fall. But I went that day to say it like I meant it. And I believe he expects that from us. A lot of times we say empty words, we'll promise him a lot of stuff, and we fail in that. I pray today that we get something out of this. It'll be a help to us. I want to read out of Isaiah chapter 6. In the 5th chapter, we find where the Lord had planted a vineyard and come forth wild grapes. And he told them about a time when people would say that good was evil and evil was good. And then we get into this 6th chapter, and it's more known probably for what we're going to use it for, but I was just going to read from the 8th verse down, but I do feel like I need to read the whole thing. The Word of God is very important, and I'm not a very good reader, so I'll probably slay some of this, but I'd ask you to pray for us. We find in the Scriptures when the Word of God was read that the people stood up, and after the Scriptures was read, all the people said amen. And that's something we don't do. I don't think it would hurt to do it. But we're going to read from the 6th chapter. And it says, in the year of the king Uzzah, died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple. And above stood the seraphims, Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved in the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, and this is Isaiah, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity has been taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Amen. And he said, Go and tell these people, Hear indeed my, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see in their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitation, and the houses without man, and the land utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. But yet it shall be in the tenth, and it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten. And the teal tree and the oak tree, and whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And that was the mistakes were made reading. That's reading the whole chapter of the sixth chapter of Isaiah. In the eighth verse, it said, in Isaiah, it said, And who shall go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Yeah. I want to take for a text out of Numbers chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This thing which the Lord hath commanded, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath unto bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. And I want to talk about just a little bit today about us keeping our vows and what we say when we tell somebody something, we need to keep our word. And when we tell the Lord especially something, we need to keep our vow. When we make a promise unto him, Isaiah said, Here I am, send me. I don't find where Isaiah ever turned back. I find the historians say, history tells us that he was cut in two, sold in two by King Manasseh. Oh, how he ended up dying. I can't prove that in the Bible, but that's what historians tell us. So we know today Isaiah was willing to go and do what God would have him to do. I find different ones in the Bible that kept their vow, that followed after him and done what they said they was going to do. Today we're going to go down to the water's edge and we're going to baptize one, and little Marissa's going to be entering into a covenant with this church today, and in that she's making a vow to keep this covenant, and we're making a vow to her to watch and pray for her. And I want you to know, when we enter into these covenants, when we make these vows, we do not need to take them lightly. I want you to know, and I believe in all my heart, there will always be a price to be paid when we break our word, whether it be with man or with God, but especially with God. When you tell God you're going to do something, you need to do all you can to keep that. I hear preachers say it all the time, and I've said it before myself. We all said, God, we'll do whatever you want us to do before we get saved. But I want you to know in saying that, we need to mean it. When we say it, we need to mean what we say. We all take it for excuse and say everybody does it. Well, I want you to know, when Eve took of the fruit of the garden, she was everybody at the time. Adam could have easily said, God, and the woman took it and sold it out. She gave it to me. Everybody's doing it. Just because everybody's doing it does not make it right. When a man stands up and owns his call to preach, you need to preach the word of God. When a person stands up and say they've been saved by God's grace and they're a child of God, they need to live like they're a child of God. And I don't always do that. I've not always done everything I should do in preaching the word of God. But I want you to realize I'll have to answer for those things. And I want you to realize today you're going to have to answer for the things you've done. I find where Apostle Paul, over in the 20th chapter of Acts, he said over there, he talked about the things that laid ahead before him. The Apostle Paul knew he was going to die the death. He knew he was going to Rome to die there. He realized that, and he counted his life for nothing. And what he said there, he kept his vow. He said, Lord, he was going to go. He knew the Lord was going to help him, and he kept his vow. I see so many people stand up and in the church, and I don't mean to be hasty in this, but you'll get up, and I've done it before myself, talk about how much we love the Lord, how we're going to serve the Lord, how we're not going to turn back. And within 2 or 3 weeks, we're not right back out in the world. Do you realize how dangerous that is? Do you realize who God is?
Amen.
I want you to know he was the one that took the bath out of my wife. He was the one that turned her blue. He was the one that gave her breath back. There was a doctor and nurse come and help me. They couldn't help me. They couldn't help her. He was going to use me one way or the other. And when I paid my vow there to him, I meant to keep it.
Amen.
I've not made it yet. I may fall, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll go down trying.
Amen.
I've got too much to lose. I've got kids. I've got grandkids. I've got these babies here I love like they're my own.
Amen.
There's a lost and dying world that's dying around us while we make our vows and then don't keep them. Ruth told Naomi. She told Naomi, she said, please don't send me back. I want to go with you. She said, your Lord, you're going to be my God. Where you're buried, that's where I'll be buried. She loved her, and that woman kept her word. I've got where I'm so afraid to say, Brother Michael, I'll be there this Thursday night at the jail. You can count on me. I'll be there. I'll be right there with you, laboring and working. You better be careful when you tell somebody you're going to do something. I've got word now. I say, if the Lord be willing, if he'll help me, I'll try to come and help you.
Amen.
I'll come and pray for you. I'll come and be with you.
Amen.
But when we stand up and say we're going to do something, we make a vow, we better keep that vow. I want to talk about a man I believe in all my heart loved the Lord. I believe he loved him as much as anybody. And he told the Lord something and he was going to do, and he failed in that. And the Lord reminded him of it. When I began studying on this, he was the first one come to my mind. Well, no, that's a lie. The first one come to my mind is me. And how many times I've said, Lord, I'll do this and I'll do that. And I want you to know I failed at that. I told you about the one I've tried to keep, the one about what I'm called to preach. But I want you to know, if you'd been standing in that hospital down there with me that day, and you're watching somebody you love, the breath leaving them, and you know why. I was done losing one. I was done losing my little sister, and I'm getting ready to lose another. And I knew why. I'm telling you, I knew why. You say you're the sorriest man ever stood and preached the word of God then. Amen. Amen again. Woe unto me. Oh, the chief of sinners, no count. But I made a vow unto him, and I aim to try to keep it.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to know Samson made a vow. Amen. Not to cut his hair or drink control drink, and he failed in that.
Yeah.
He didn't keep his vow. When we make a vow, we better keep it. Then said Jesus in the 26th chapter of Matthew, in the 31st verse, then Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended in me because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. And Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, are truthfully. And I want you to know, if you want to look at the example of someone that kept every vow he made, you look at Jesus Christ. Never once, truthfully I say unto you, when he said, verily I say unto you, truthfully I say unto you, you can write it down in your little day book. It was going to happen. And he said, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though all, and I want you to pay attention to this, because I'm going to try to get into something I've never seen before. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. So Peter not only got himself in this spot, but he also got the rest of them into it. And that happened more than once. But I want you to realize, I've thought about this many times, and we all know over there where Peter coming to the Lord and the Lord coming to them. And I believe Peter jumped into the water and swam to the Lord. He loved the Lord. When this man said he loved him, I believe he meant he loved him. I believe in all my heart. He was the only one that stepped out on water and walked to the Lord. Nobody else did. I want you to know, he dived out of a boat, swam 100 yards to get to the Lord. He loved him. Jesus, when he asked him, he said, whom does men say that I am? He said, some say Jeremiah, Elias, or one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee. Peter loved him. Don't you ever think he didn't. He made a vow. The Lord fed him with those fishes there. And he reminded, we all know about the three times, and we all know what that's about. The third time, Peter finally just gets grievous, upsets him. You know why he's grievous? I used to think maybe just got a little disgusted because he asked him, because he was minded. It was that third time when that cock crew, when he denied him, he even cursed him. He not only didn't keep his vow, he cursed him. And then the Lord walked by. They led him by and he made eye contact with Peter. And the Bible says he went out and wept. He'd made a vow and he'd broke it. But Peter said something over there. He said, oh, all men may be offended, and they all not be offended. I'll die with you. And he ended up, just like historians say, I can't prove this with the scripture, but he ended up dying. He ended up, just like historians say, Isaiah died, that Peter was crucified upside down. I believe that. Y'all pray for us. Amen. Gonna try to get done here in a minute. Get turned to the right place. He fed him with a fish, and we're in the 21st chapter of John now. He fed him with a fish, and he said, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And I want to stop right there. For some time, I thought it was the fish. I did, and it may be. I don't know everything, and I want you to know you don't either. When he said, lovest thou me more than these? And then for a while, I thought it might have been the boat, even the nets that he used. You love me more than you do this, your boat. Your nets. He done walked away from them. I don't believe it was the boat, the nets, the fish. And then one time I even thought maybe he's talking about, do you love your friends more than you do me? But you know what I really believe it does mean? He done said, though all men deny they all not. He was saying, I believe in all my heart today, you love me more than they love me. You said that, Peter. I don't believe he just reminded him the three times. I believe he reminded him that he said he loved him more. He was saying he loved him more. Although all men, though Barry, though John, though Larry, they may be offended. You, though Ian, though Brandon, though Josh, though Chad, though Michael, they may be offended you, but I will not. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than they love me? That's what he was saying. And he was reminding them of that. Do you love me more than everybody else does? You took this vow saying you did. Now here we are. It's easy for us to get to thinking that. Sometimes as a pastor, you get to thinking, I wish they all loved the church like I do. Do I really love it more than these? Sometimes as a deacon, it's easy to sit there. Why is everybody else not dedicated like I am? Do you love it more than these? When you say these kind of things, you better be willing to back it up. So the Lord reminded Peter three times. And finally, it got there at the end. It was grievous. And I think all this will tie together. I hope. Jesus saith unto him, Simon Peter, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, I want you to know, I believe he saw him again walking by. I believe he brought back to his remembrance how he would like to hit the rewind button and go back and not deny the Lord that third time. But I want you to know, he did. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now listen to what he says. It goes right into this then. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whom thou, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself. In other words, you clothed yourself. When you was young, you done what you wanted to. You wore what you wanted to. You went where you wanted to. And what thou walkest, whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old. That means he lived to be an old man. The Lord loved Peter. And Peter lived to be an old man. But it said, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. And another shall gird thee. Gird thee, I believe, on a cross upside down. And carry thee where thou wouldest not. I want you to know, put him there on the cross, not die.
Amen.
He went from, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Till it got down. Then he told him, this is how you're going to die. Yeah. When's the last time you told God something you didn't do it? How many times you ever went and said, Lord, if you'll let me get there this time, I'll do it? I've heard people say this over and over. Lord, if you'll have this song sung, I'll join the church. And then I said, Lord, if you'll have this song sung, I'll join the church.
Amen.
You made the vow the first time.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't like hearing that, preacher. Well, I don't like saying it, but I'm just telling you the truth. When you make a vow to God, you better be planning on keeping it.
Amen.
So Isaiah said, knowing the opposition, and it was. He faced all kind of opposition. It was a bunch of people that called good evil and evil good. It was a bunch of people that was drawn nigh unto him with their mouth, but their heart was far from him. It was a bunch of people that was unclean, of unclean lips. It was a bunch of people that was unclean people. And he said, here I am, send me. And that was after he got touched by the Lord. Marissa, hon. I'm not trying to put more pressure on you. I'm not. But you're entering a covenant today. And I want you to know His church loves you. And I know you love His church. I'm rest assured that little girl didn't get up here last Sunday and do what she done unless she loved God, unless she loved y'all. I promise you that. I didn't think we was going to get her to talk. I mean, she was froze up just. And I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times I stand up there and look out across there and I go, and y'all can't see it, but back there my knees is going like it's right here. But as we enter a covenant with God,
amen,
and with each other, let's keep our vow. The Bible says we're not to fail to assemble ourselves together. If mom and daddy don't want to go to church on Sunday, you encourage them to go. You get up and you say, Mama, we need to go to church. So I'm putting the pressure on you, Anna. If your husband don't want to go this on Sunday morning, get up and tell him, let's go to church. If your wife don't want to go, say, honey, we need to go. We're going to go to work tomorrow. Let's go to church today. Amen. When it comes time, God says you need to stand up and make a talk. Just follow him and do what he said to do. Just say, here I am, send me. But when you get willing to say you're going to do something, you do it.
Amen.
You do it to the best of your capacity. You love the Lord. Y'all pray for me that I'll do it. I don't want to fail. I preached a lot of times about finishing well.
Amen.
You know why I want to finish well for? Because my beginning was so bad.
Yeah. Amen.
My middle road was not too good. So what? I can't go back. I can't hit rewind and go back and fix and change nothing. I can't go back to when he first called me to preach, sitting there in the back middle on the left-hand side at Rocky Mount and get up and say, the Lord has called me to pray. I can't go back. I can't change none of it. All I can do is press forward. When I reached, looked down to my wife that day, her laying in the bed, I said, honey, after I do this today, things will never be the same. I made it sound like our world was going to end, that we was fixing to die. Nothing would ever be good again. And in my mind, that's what I thought. I thought, boy, this is going to be a mess. This will never get no better. But this is it. You know, I'm going today and I'm going to do it. We're going to have to live with it. Best things ever happened to me in my life, besides being saved by God's grace.
Amen.
To get up and tell about Jesus. But that don't mean that I won't get to a point. I say all men, though all men may be offended in you, I will not be offended. And Peter went and he gathered around the campfire there in the camp, around the world.
Yep.
And he was sitting there by the fire, all the world and people saying, you're one of him. I saw you. I saw you with him. No, you're wrong. He sat there and the finally one said something. No, you're one of him. And he cursed. And then he was sitting there by that flame. And they led him by. And he walked by. And he looked at him. And the cock crowed. I preached on this before. Have you ever heard the cock crow? I have. I've been in places where I didn't need to be around the campfire, and all of a sudden the cock crowed, and I just, oh no, why am I here? Listen to me, girls. Girls, listen to me. Listen to me a second. You're fixing to be at places and opportunities to do wrong. You're going to have your chances. I pray when that time comes, the cock crows. I hope the Holy Spirit of God reminds you that you don't need to be there.
Amen.
It said the smoke filled the room over there with Isaiah. You know what that smoke represented? The Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Them seraphims, they represented the ministers of God. You say, well, you ain't much. Well, I ain't, but I'm the one here to warn you today.
Amen.
I'd agree, I ain't much. I've done told you how sorry I am. But he sent me today to warn you. If you've made a promise to God, you do all you can to keep it.
Amen.
And we'd be a whole lot better off just to say, Lord, if it be thy will for us to do this or that. We'll do it. That's my message.